This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What's up, everyone? It's Bo here, and it's another Kenobi TV Talk. That's right, it's part five now, and I literally just got done watching the episode. Man, okay, so correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like, and I could be wrong here, but I feel like this is the first time that I saw a warning flash before the episode. Maybe we've gotten that before, and maybe this is just the only time that I've noticed it. But yeah, we got kind of like a heads up, like some of the things you're about to see are disturbing, which is telling, because some of what we've already seen is pretty disturbing. Anytime they're flashing back to Anakin or you know, having Obi-Wan drag through the coals, or even just like the, you know, just the brutal kind of distorted nature of, you know, Vader's body when it's out of the suit. All of these things are very disturbing. But I think the ante was upped here because we actually saw one of the characters sacrifice himself in a pretty, I guess like mentally brutal way. We don't actually see the violence itself, but I think just that act in and of itself seemed to be the thing that put it over the edge. That's just my opinion, my thoughts. Who knows? Maybe it was the fact that we saw Vader killing children. That could also be it. Point is, there's a lot going on in this episode. We got a lot of revelations in this as well. We did find out Reva's backstory, that in fact she was a youngling, that she is not someone who has necessarily been brainwashed by the Inquisitorium, but in fact she is, she's lying in wait. We've seen this before. We've seen, you know, this a very Sith and dark side way of getting kind of closer and closer and closer to the dark side in order to take your revenge. I was actually shocked, by the way, at the end of this, that Vader stabbed her. I did not think that was going to happen. I thought that he was going to have her use her hatred for him to fuel her. That's a very Sith action to take, especially with, you know, there's always two, right? There's a master and an apprentice, but there's also typically Sith assassins or acolytes. Basically, whoever the apprentice is generally keeps a couple of potential new Sith around, because the apprentice is always going to try to kill the master. And when that's the case, then they need a new apprentice. And so it's kind of like a what's it? What's the thing in baseball where you got like the real teams, but then you've got kind of like the sub teams that feed into the real teams? Yeah, it's like that. I don't know baseball. Anyway, so we get a chance to see the backstory for Reva and the fact that she gets left for dead while Vader just walks away. I guess Obi-Wan taught him well, because of course she's not actually dead. By the way, speaking of Obi-Wan teaching him well, loved the sequence where it takes us right back into the Attack of the Clones era Anakin. We're actually seeing him train with Obi-Wan. And in that sequence, not only does that feel very prequel-esque in all the right ways, maybe this is different for you, but for me, it tricked me. I thought we were seeing a memory of Obi-Wan's, and immediately shows us we are seeing a memory of Vader's. Vader is actually the one that is experiencing this memory, which later plays into how Obi-Wan remembers the training and just who Anakin was, and how that still plays into who he is today as Vader. When he goes in and the ship like takes off and he just like effortlessly rips it down, rips it apart. That was epic. Instantly reminded me, okay, so there's going to be some video game references in kind of some of these thoughts here, but it instantly reminded me of in The Force Unleashed when Starkiller has to pull down an entire Star Destroyer. It was one of the most annoying and irritating levels in that game because if you didn't rotate the joysticks exactly right, then you would lose it, like, and then the Star Destroyer would fly right back up into the sky and you had to kind of keep ripping it down. It was very frustrating. But anyway, that kind of reminded me of that. Loved that we got a chance to see kind of that epic power of Vader. Speaking of which, we also got a chance to see when Reva is like going after him, he's just straight on toying with her the entire time. Never ignites his lightsaber, just dodging her back and forth, you know, Neo-esque from the first Matrix where she's just not touching him. And then when he gets her lightsaber, he tosses it back to her. And when she picks it up, like, Reva, what do you think you're gonna do? Like, what do you think you're going to do right now? Like, Vader just like owns you without even igniting his saber. Then he cuts your saber in half and takes his. You're not coming out of this alive. So that was just, oof, that was rough. I mean, I guess she did come out of it alive because, like I said, Obi-Wan taught Anakin well and he just, you know, wounded her and left her on the planet, you know. Like Obi-Wan. Anyway, so loved that confrontation between the two of them. We also got the revelation, of course, that the Grand Inquisitor is in fact alive. Something that Lucasfilm themselves really kind of had to go out of their way to say, yeah, we didn't break canon. Don't worry about it. You know, and I think most of us who had faith in this series and what's been going on with the way they've tied in the animated lore and what we're seeing on the big screen, or rather, I guess the small screen, you know, it makes sense. Like, we knew the Inquisitor wasn't really dead. It was kind of shocking, but then they came through. They came through for us. And I have a feeling that's going to be the case in other ways as well. One of the main criticisms I've seen about this series, including Leia, is the way in which Leia speaks to Obi-Wan and the message she sends later on. It's not familiar. She references specifically, you know, years ago you served my father in the Clone Wars. It's that there's not a, oh, by the way, you know, remember that kind of wild adventure we went on as kids? I'm wondering if he's going to wipe her memory in some form or fashion by the end of this as a way of protecting her further. We might even see Leia, this is some wild speculation, we might even see Leia actually use the Force in this series, accidentally or otherwise, where it just kind of comes out in a almost like a Baby Yoda-esque moment. And I got to tell you, it's going to rub people the wrong way if it happens. But my guess is if we do see that happen, then it's almost like a confirmation that Obi-Wan is going to kind of wipe her memory in some form or fashion so that she won't remember that she has the Force and she won't remember this whole excursion. I like the fact that Leia is being used here because, as I've kind of argued with Bell recently, actually, Obi-Wan wouldn't leave his station. He wouldn't leave Luke alone unless there was a threat of equal importance. And Leia being in danger is literally that level of threat at equal importance. And now at the end of this episode, where we see that Luke is about to be in the crosshairs, is going to have Obi-Wan making a beeline right back to where he belongs. So he needs to get Leia safe, probably mind wipe her, and then get back to Tatooine. And I think that's what we're going to see here. One other kind of video game reference I wanted to throw in here. So when he gives his lightsaber to... the fake Jedi dude. I forget what his name was. When he gives his lightsaber to him, it was very reminiscent of it wasn't really a sequel. It was like I actually had to look this up because it was an expansion. It wasn't a sequel. It was an expansion to the Star Wars Jedi Knight game called Mystery of the Sith. Now, in that video game, it's not canonical at all. It's actually been removed from canon, but the idea was that Kyle Katarn, who was the hero of the Jedi Knight series and the Dark Forces series before that, he is kind of exploring the Sith Temple. In the process, he goes to the dark side. You, playing as his Padawan, Mara Jade, go and have to rescue him. And the final confrontation in that expansion pack is you as Mara Jade versus a dark Kyle Katarn in the Sith Temple. And the only way to beat him, like, he's completely unbeatable, so the only way to beat him is to put down your lightsaber. They don't explain that to you anywhere. There's a mural on the wall of, like, someone, like, sitting with a lightsaber in front of them, which is supposed to be kind of a hint that you're supposed to put that together. I did not. And I remember playing that level over and over and over and over again and constantly just losing because I couldn't figure out that what you were ultimately supposed to do in choosing the light was to put down your lightsaber and to like confront him weaponless. In fact, the only way I beat it, as kind of a side, is that you could throw your lightsaber in that game, and I threw my lightsaber at that game, and he knocked it down, and then I think I switched weapons while it was like out of my hand, and that counted as me no longer holding the lightsaber. So yeah, when Obi-Wan, you know, hands off his lightsaber and it goes to confront Vader completely without weapons, it did kind of remind me about that scene in the, you know, Mysteries of the Sith. So obviously used in a very different way. He still kind of throws Reva at him as opposed and uses Reva to some extent. She's not okay, by the way. She's got all this childhood trauma and now it's just kind of happening over and over and over again. Anyway, fantastic episode that we got here. Really looking forward to seeing what happens next. I'm anticipating, you know, kind of a good conclusion to the Leia story that gets her where she needs to be and safe. I'm anticipating a final confrontation between Reva and Obi-Wan that's going to happen on Tatooine. And my guess is that we will probably get the final confrontation in this anyway of Vader versus Obi-Wan that will definitely not happen on Tatooine. Could be wrong, but we'll see. All right, that's my thoughts. Let me know your thoughts. You can tweet us, use the hashtag Star Wars TV Talk or Kenobi TV Talk. You can also find us on Twitter at TV Talk FM, but all of our contact information and more can be found at TVTalk.fm. That's going to do it for me for today, but don't worry, be back in a flash.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.